Well, good morning. Well, we've been talking about Joseph. You know, you think it's what's a children's Bible story. Well, you know, it's really for us. It's for all of us. And he was quite a man. And like I said, the only man that was much said about in the Bible that there was no mention of his sin. We knew he was a sinner. But a lot of teaching in Bible college and all, they talk about how Joseph is kind of a forerunner of Christ. An image that he was so dedicated and so, no matter what happened to him, he kept trudging on. And so we're going to see, guess where he is this morning? In prison. Poor Joseph. The many-colored coat got him in trouble, and it just keeps coming. So take your Bibles this morning and turn to Genesis chapter 40. Genesis. Why was Joseph successful? You've been, this is our third week, and why does he seem to be so successful? What does the Bible say this over and over about Joseph? And God was with him. And God was with him. Boy, don't we need God every day? Every day. You know, when the bad day goes, something's gone wrong, we've got to disconnect. That's the way it seems. Well, we all have our doubts, and we have days of darkness. And Joseph certainly had some days of darkness, many of them. In fact, 13 years here in prison. Whoa, 13 years. Long time. He wasn't even 20. He was a late teenager when he goes into prison. Comes out at 30 years old, and we'll talk about that later. Next week, we're going to talk about conscience. So if you got a conscience problem, you may want to stay home next week. Seriously, no, it's a good message on the conscience. We all have one. You know, God gave you one. Did you know that? For a reason. We know you don't have to train your children how to be, you know, how to make mistakes. They know how to do that. You got to teach them how to live and how to know the Word of God and how to live in according with God's Word. So, Joseph's own brothers, you know, sold him into slavery. And he was mistreated. He was misunderstood. He was misrepresented. And we find Joseph in Egypt, in the Egyptian prison today, and because he was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. And we had that message last time. And he didn't have anything to do with Potiphar's wife. I mean, he was innocent, totally innocent in this. And she stole much from Joseph, but she couldn't steal his character. He had been sold out to God, and God was with him. God was with him in the pit when his brothers tried to kill him and then sold him. God was with him in the palace. And when Potiphar's wife came after him, and we will discover this morning that God was with him in prison. And but it gets darker for Joseph. He isn't in prison for just a few months. He's there for 13 years. It gets darker, but before the light shines. And I don't know that Joseph understood what God was up to. You know, he didn't know what was going to happen. He didn't know the ending. As Joseph is in this prison, you can almost imagine the devil coming and taunting him. Well, Joseph, what do you think about God now? Here you are in prison, Joseph. You're a follower of God. Oh boy, he's really taking care of you, isn't he, Joseph? Well, Joseph was a victim. You know, and many people today play the victim card. And the truth is, there really are victims in life. You know that? Joseph was a victim. They're real people. And bad things happen to people. And very painful things. Children that are innocent at a young age are abused. And they sit across from pastors. And I had it happen years ago in counseling sessions, and these children have grown up, and now they sit before the pastor, and they say, "Pastor, where was God? I was just 5 years old when that happened. I couldn't defend myself." Where was God? Well, you know, there's no real easy answers to that. We live in a fallen world, and there are real victims, and there are people that are really hurting, and there is a God in heaven that sees it all. But God has not made us to be robots. He is sovereign God of the world, but He has given us freedom of choice, and we choose. And there are consequences to those choices. And people make choices that affect others for years and years in their lives. And your life is not over yet. But God can take what is meant for evil and He can make it good. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. God can take the evil, satanic things of this world and make them work for good in your life. No matter how bad it looks to you this morning, your life is not over. You're here. I know it's dark in your prison. Some of you have a prison of pain this week, and you've gone through some painful things this week. But I want to give you some prison principles today that will help you out. If you have walked with the Lord and done your very best to follow Him, there will be times of darkness that come into your life. And if you're living in darkness, what do you do? If you're living in despair this morning, what do you do? If you're living in doubt this morning, what do you do? You know, John the Baptist was put in prison. And he was Jesus' cousin, you remember. And he's the one that baptized Jesus Christ with his very own hands. And it was John the Baptist that sent his own disciples to ask Jesus a question. Are you the Messiah, or should I look for another? Even John, one of his closest friends, he was in prison when he said that. Now, what would cause a preacher to say that? Because preachers even walk in darkness from time to time. Did you know that? John the Baptist walked in darkness. Job walked in darkness. And if you're walking in darkness this morning, you have some pretty good company. Joseph is in prison. The doors are locked, and you can almost hear the devil say, "Where's your God now, Joseph?" He's a victim. In chapter 40, verses 1 through 8, if you would stand with me if you're able, we're going to read the first 8 verses this morning to chapter 40, Genesis. And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in a ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them. So he put him over them. And he served them, and they continued a season inward. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning, and he looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his lord's house, saying, "Wherefore look ye so sadly today?" And they said unto him, "We have dreamed a dream, and there's no interpreter of it." And Joseph said unto them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we have dreams. Some of them are good, and some maybe not so good. But Lord, we pray that as we look at the life of Joseph this morning, Lord, that you will be with us in a very special way, Lord. Point out to us, Lord, help us to learn from the life of Joseph how to handle some of the rough times in our lives. Show us your love this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, the first principle There's three prison principles here I want to give you. And when you're in darkness, when you're in despair, when you're in doubt. Number one, the first principle is when you are in darkness, don't live by fear. Let me repeat that for you. When you're in darkness, don't live by fear. When you are in darkness, don't do it, because there's nothing wrong with feelings. God has made us emotional beings, and you have feelings. You don't always have to have a smile on your face, you know, to be saved. You don't have to be the most pleasant person in the church to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Worship leaders that taunt everyone, everybody get a smile. Oh, everybody smile this morning. That sounds great, but you don't have to always smile to have joy in your heart. Do you know that? You can be sad in your face and have joy in your heart. Did you know that? Because of who you are and whose you are. Joseph didn't like his dungeon, but Joseph, he's ministering. Did you notice that? Here he is. He's in prison, and the baker, and they're there, and Joseph, he's ministering to him. He says, "Why are you so sad?" In verse 15, it tells us that he's in a dungeon, and he's probably now in his 20s, and I'm sure he was wondering, where is God? But see, this is a test for Joseph, and God is testing him. Joseph is going to learn a faith that can be tested, and a faith, and he has to learn. If your faith can't be tested, what use is it? And he has to learn about trust. God wants him to learn about trusting him. And God is going to take Joseph through some things in his life that his earthly father, Jacob, would have never allowed. Joseph doesn't know what God is doing, but God has given him dreams, and God is putting him through trials and testings, all for a purpose. And Joseph learned in that dungeon, you don't live by fear. Have you noticed that every time you find Joseph, he seems to be serving somebody else? He was a servant. Notice the butler and the baker. They are under Joseph, but he's serving them. You know, it might be that Potiphar looked at Joseph. Remember what happened with Potiphar? He was very angry when he found out what his wife accused Joseph of. But he might have went to Joseph after it was all over, because he loved Joseph. Joseph had taken such good care of all of his property and everything. He had prospered so much by Joseph. And then this happened with his wife. And he might have said to Joseph after he cooled off, "I know my wife. And I know you, Joseph. And I don't think you tried to attack her. But you know something? My honor is at stake here. And I have to put you in prison. But I'm going to put you in charge." And so Potiphar trusted Joseph. And I think he saw to it that he was in charge in many things in the jail where he was. He was a leader. He was a trusted servant. And one of the reasons God could trust Joseph was that when he was in darkness, he didn't go by his feelings. Jesus didn't feel like going to the cross either. Jesus even prayed, "Let this cup pass from me." But he comes into this prison, and he's serving in this prison, and the Bible says in verse 6 that the butler and the baker are very, very sad. Verse 7, he asked them, "Why are you all so sad?" Does that seem unusual? I mean, they were in prison. It wasn't in the Hampton Inn. "And why are you guys sad?" You know, I have to be careful when you ask someone about their feelings. They may just tell you how they feel. But most of the time, people don't really care about your feelings. We should care about how people feel. But you see, Joseph was sensitive. He had a sensitive heart. He had a caring heart. And Joseph is serving and he's ministering. And he hadn't quit on God. "My brothers sold me in slavery and I'm done with God." No, that wasn't him. "Man, I tried to live for God, and that woman lied to me and she framed me. And I'm not going to live for God anymore. No, that wasn't Joseph either. Look, they should have been asking Joseph why he was sad, not Joseph asking them, why are you so sad? They began to tell him their dreams, and they said each had a dream. And no one had been able to interpret their dream. Think about this. If you were Joseph, dreams are what got you into the slavery. If you had been Joseph and all that he went through, I say, you want someone to interpret your dreams? Not me, brother. Last time I did that, I ended up as a slave in a pit. You know, there are a lot of people like that, that they get hurt in a relationship and they say, I don't do relationships anymore. I don't have friends anymore. I can't trust my friends. Church? No. No, I tried church. I was there. I got hurt at church. I don't do church anymore. Pastor, I got hurt by a pastor. I don't even do pastors, and I'm done with you. Joseph wasn't like that. He said, you know what? I'm going to continue to use my gifts for God. Joseph says in verse 8, interpretations belong to God. Tell me your dreams. I'll see if I can help you. We have no understand that the culture, the butler was like the right-hand man to Pharaoh. And it was kind of like Nehemiah. Remember, he had his cupbearer and he was there protecting the king. And they had people that tasted the food and the king to be sure that it was safe. Would you like that job? Kings had a lot of enemies. Brothers that wanted to pop in and take over. It was a tough job. For some reason, the butler and the baker are accused together in this situation, and the Bible doesn't tell us what it was. But it does say it probably had something to do with what was going on in the food and the situation. And verse 2, it says, the Pharaoh was angry at both of them. And it doesn't tell us what they did wrong. But in verse 10, it says this, the butler explains his dream. And in the vine, he says, were three branches. And it was as though it budded and its blossoms shot forth and its clusters brought forth ripe grapes. In verse 11, it says, then Pharaoh's cup was in my hand. And I took the grapes and I pressed the grapes down into Pharaoh's cup, and I placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph then interprets the dream. He says, there are three branches, or 3 days. And in 3 days, Pharaoh is going to lift you up, lift your head up, and restore you to your former place. And you will be restored as you were before. Wow. Well, when the baker heard about that, he was excited. He says, my, I had a dream too. Verse 16. I also was in my dream, and there was three white baskets on my head. And verse 17, and in the uppermost basket were all kinds of baked goods and for Pharaoh, and the birds ate them out of the basket on his head. What does that mean? Joseph could have said, well, you know, I'm not going to tell you for about 3 or 4 days. Because, see, he wouldn't be around 3 or 4 days. He wouldn't have to explain it. But he didn't. He tells him, he says, the butler had his head lifted up, and you're going to have your head lifted off. He says, you're going to die. And this probably tells us that the baker was more guilty in this situation than the butler. The truth, you know, the truth has a way of coming out many times. And at first, the Pharaoh didn't know who or what was going on. Somebody was trying to poison him, whatever the situation was, but he put him in jail and tried to figure it out. And so, you know, that doesn't say here, but I would be surprised knowing the character of Joseph, that Joseph didn't sit down, the baker down, and say, you know, I need to tell you something. Do you know you can have a future in heaven? Because you're heading there. You're heading somewhere. And you need to know the right place to go. It wouldn't surprise me if that was, it just wasn't recorded, but that was something like that happened. That would line up with Joseph's character. Joseph living in this prison. He knew that you couldn't live by your feelings. You must be faithful. You must keep trusting God. No matter what happens in your circumstances, keep trusting God. And principle number two, when you are in despair, don't live by friendships. When you're in despair, don't live by friendships. I want you to listen. There is nothing wrong with friendships. The Bible says that he who has many friends will come to ruin. Why? What's the reason? Do you know what friendships are costly? Most of you have one or two real friends because they're costly. The Bible says a man that has many friends will come to ruin. Actually, you can't have a lot of friends. Politicians do that. The Bible says there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I'm not down on friends. It's good to have friends. But when you are in despair of your life, be careful not to expect your friends to come through on a level that only God can do. You expect too much out of your friends sometimes. Be careful not to put more pressure on those friendships than a human can bear. Because a friend is to be a friend to you, but even friends will forget you. See, Joseph knows that in earth or in heaven, it's who you know. So he says to the butler, I know that you are the right-hand man of Pharaoh. Joseph thinking ahead here now, he's a smart man. Look at verse 14. But remember me when it shall be well with you, and please show kindness to me and to the Pharaoh, and get me out of this house. Because I was stolen away, and I've done nothing. I've done nothing to deserve where I am to be in this prison, in this dungeon. Please, please put a good word in for me. It doesn't say it, but I'm sure he agreed to do it. But the days turn into weeks, and the weeks into months, and the months into years. In verse 23, two more years go by, and verse 23 says, yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. You ever been forgotten? He forgot him. Think about that. The lack of gratitude. He just forgot him. After all he'd done for him. Does it bother you that people don't say thank you? Does it bother you when people are ungrateful? All Joseph did for this guy, and he forgets him. Do you think God looks down at us and wonders why we don't say thanks more often? A God that has given us so much, a God that has been so good to us, our family, our friends, our job, our homes. Joseph doesn't know what God is up to. He doesn't know the end of the story yet. And all he knows is that his brothers forgot him, left him. Potiphar has now forgot him. And now the butler has forgot him. He can't understand that. God, why? You know why? See, because God is teaching him some life lessons here. And the first life lesson he's telling is the telling lesson. The telling lesson. There's nothing wrong with telling your friends or what you are going through, but we need to be careful that we don't spend more time telling our friends than talking to God about it. Sometimes we tell friends. We got a prayer request, and we tell them the request. And we never really pray to God about that issue. I think the reason Joseph never gave up on God, and there's no indication that he ever did, his faith ever wavered. And I think the reason for this is that he spent a lot of time praying to God, talking to God about his situation. And the lesson of telling, God was teaching Joseph to talk to him. Let me tell you, when I'm going through despair, when I'm going through darkness, I want to talk to God. Don't you? He can do so much more than your friends. God was teaching him a lesson about telling. And second, God was teaching him a lesson about trusting. Proverbs says, confidence in man is like a broken tooth or a foot out of joint. You ever had a foot out of joint? Broken tooth? Oh, those are nice. Have you ever seen someone up close when they had a broken tooth? It's out of place. It doesn't look right. I know I broke one time, and I couldn't wait to get to the dentist. I was probably 12 years old. I thought, I kept my mouth like this for weeks till we got the appointment. I guess Dad had to figure out how to pay for it. But there's something that is not right. There's something that doesn't look right. And when you put confidence in man, you put all that confidence in man, and that man disappoints you. You see, why God didn't allow the butler to remember him? You know why he did that? Because the butler would have got all the praise. Instead of God getting the praise, and God is teaching him the lesson of trusting. I'm looking at some people this morning right here, and many of you have nowhere to turn. It's dark in your family this week. It's dark in your finances. It's dark in your life. It's dark, and you have nowhere else to turn. And God is teaching you a life lesson about trusting. Here's what you do to trust Him. It's a lesson on telling. It's a lesson on trusting, but it's also a lesson on timing. God is doing something here. Joseph doesn't know, but God knows. God owns all the clocks, and He owns all the time. And God is not so concerned about your time as He is timing. If you study the Word of God, you will discover in Isaiah 30, verse 18 says, therefore the Lord will wait that He may be gracious to you. Sometimes God wants to answer your prayers just so He may be gracious to you. Waits before He gets you out of that dungeon. Waits before He gets you out of the darkness. He waits and He waits, and God, why are you waiting so long? And Joseph waited two more years because God was showing him grace. You know why God waits? One thing, He's trying to help you grow. God has your spiritual maturity in mind. Another reason God waits is because He wants to display His glory. In John chapter 2, when He turned the water into wine, He waited. And He waited till they ran out of supply. Because John 2, verse 11 says, and Jesus manifested His glory, and His disciples believed in Him. God wants to display His glory. God wants to help you grow. But God also wants to dispense His grace. Isaiah 30, verse 18 says, God waits that He may be gracious to you. Sometimes God waits and He waits, and He does it because He wants to be gracious to you. It has something to do with someone else. And I've got a prayer request that I pray almost every day, and a lot of them I do, but this one particular is on my heart lately. I know God can answer prayer. And I know God knows my heart. And the best thing I can figure, He hasn't answered that prayer yet. And it probably has something to do with the person I'm praying for. God is waiting. It's no time to be panicky or fearful. I've learned as I've prayed about this situation that I was so distraught about that I can have peace about it. Because I've been talking to God about it. And He says, wait. Just wait. I'm working on this. When you're in despair, you can't live by friendships. It's been 11 long years for Joseph and nothing has happened. And here's the third principle. When you're in doubt, don't live by fairness. When you're in doubt, don't live by fairness. Many times life is not fair. It isn't always fair. Can you imagine in those long years, I'm sure Joseph wanted so bad to get a word to his father. You know, his father loved him so much, made that coat of many colors for him. He wanted to get that word. Dad, he wants to tell him, Dad, I'm really okay. I didn't die by that beast. I'm really okay. He'd love to have his father know that, but his dad had mourned and mourned and mourned for him. I want you to know I'm okay. Well, my pastor in Tampa, Florida, Ken Witten, tells a story, and I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget it. He had a friend, a pastor friend, and his pastor's son was killed in a tragic accident. And the pastor was of a denomination that believed you could lose your salvation. See, most of us Baptists don't do that. We think once, you know, once you're a child of God, you're all, you know, a real child of God. Now, you know, you can be a fake. They said Demas was not of us. He went out from us. But, well, the boy had been a good Christian almost all of his life. In the last 2 years before his death, he went astray. Well, my old pastor visited him several times, and he tried and tried his friend, and he talked to him, and he said, you know something like this. He said, you know, he was a child of God, and he, you know, he, yes, he did. He went off the road a little bit, but see, he had broken fellowship. See, when you sin, the first thing that happens, you break fellowship. You don't break relationship right away. God still loves you. I mean, how many times has the Holy Spirit come to you and said, hey, Richard, you messed up yesterday. Oh, man, I did, God. Please forgive me. God convicts us because he loves us. We're his children. If you threw your child out every time they did one sin or two sins, what would that be like? How long would they have lasted in the house? Not very long. But they're your children. Are you a child of God this morning? Are you a fake? That's the question. Well, anyway, this situation was what? But the father refused to be comforted, much like Jacob. He didn't go back to his pastor either. He quit the ministry after this death. Well, one day he went to church, and a lady came to him and told him she had a dream about his son. And she had never met his son. And she said things about his son that only he could know. So he knew this. He listened. Really? But in the dream, she described his son in detail, and she told him that his son wanted her to give him this message. Tell my daddy I'm okay. Tell my daddy I'm okay. And sometime later, my pastor met the dad for lunch, and he said this, and this is what the man said to him when he met him for lunch. You know, when I get to heaven, I know I'm going to see my son. I'm going to pop him on the head and say, that's for leaving me, buddy. That's for leaving me. How many times do you think Joseph said, if you could just get word to my daddy, to my dad, that I'm okay. I just want him to know I'm okay. Joseph knew when you live in doubt, you don't live in fairness. Do you know fairness is a human concept? Did you know that? The Bible says that God is just, that God is holy. Abraham said this, shall not the king of all the earth do right? God does right. Every good gift, every perfect gift comes down from the Father of what? Of lights. And James wrote that. God is good, but God is not fair. Did you hear that? God is good, but he's not fair. Fairness is a human concept. That's our thoughts. God is just, and there's a difference. I'd like to be able to tell you that everything that happens in your life will be fair, but I can't. But I can tell you this. There is a God in heaven that is perfect. There's a God that can take what is wrong in your life and make it right. I know that day. See, I'm speaking to people, you've had some undeserved abuse. Do you know it's possible for parents to mistreat their children? You've seen it. Do you know it's possible for kids to mistreat their parents? Anybody got know that one? Okay, well. And that's not fair. My wife, and she's sick this morning, but she's getting some better, but she had a rough night last night. And this mast cell stuff, I don't know, it's weird. But anyway, she would really love to be here this morning. But you know, some things just aren't fair, are they? Well, anyway, my wife grew up in a home with six children back in the 50s, and all of her brothers and sisters were abandoned by their father. And when she was 9 years old, they got word that he was up in New Jersey and he was working in an accident, had a terrible accident, and he died. Six little children. And he was way away from home. He wasn't there for hardly any of her birthdays. He wasn't there when she graduated from high school. When we got married, Dad wasn't there. He wasn't there at the birth of our children, none of them. He wasn't there for her. He wasn't there for the four brothers and the other sister. Undeserved abuse. What about some of you this morning going through some things that you don't deserve? Maybe someone has said something about you that isn't true. God will have the final word. We are to trust God. Believe me, God has the final word. And in some ways, that's what Joseph was going through. Things were not going right for Joseph. Nothing. Everything was bad. That may have been the worst pain of it all for Joseph. I want to tell you a story. This is a true story. We got time. I'm so glad I got extra minutes this morning. Sharon and I, we were in Florida. We had some friends, and there was a young couple. And the wife just loved her husband so much, and she worked two jobs so he could go to college. Made sense. They had some children. He wanted to get his dreams met, and so she put him through college. She worked and worked, and he got the glory. He got the degree. He got the job. He got the credit. And then he left. You know, that really shook us up. We were a young couple. And I looked at my wife and I said, I'll never do that to you. He even left her for another woman. She did all the work and he got all the benefits. That's unfair abandonment, don't you think? Do you know even brothers and sisters in Christ can misjudge you and abandon you? You've done so much for them. And when you need them, they're nowhere to be found. You're abandoned. That's what Joseph was feeling. And you're in pain. And this kind of pain is where God really begins to speak. C.S. Lewis said this, pain in your spiritual life is God's megaphone to our hearts. God whispers in our pleasure. God talks to us in our conscience. But God shouts in our pain. Some of you this morning are going through a dungeon experience. You're in darkness. You're in doubt. Someone said, never doubt in the dark what God shows you in the light. God has not abandoned you. God has not forgotten you. Isaiah 49, verse 16, God said, He would inscribe your name in the palms of His hands. Did you know that? If you know Him today, God's got big hands. Your name's in the palm of His hand. If you could see in heaven right now, We could see the nail scars in Jesus' hands. Do you know, so one thing that when we go to heaven, one thing about sin we're going to see, the scars. They're still going to be there. God hasn't forgotten you. There's only one person in this world that God ever forgot and forsook, and that was His beloved Son. And He did it for you. He did it for you. When Jesus asked, "Why have you forsaken me?" And the reason He forsook Jesus was so He would not forget you. Romans 8:32 says, "He who spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall we not with Him also freely give us all things?" Let me tell you something. If God was going to ever back out on a promise, it would have not been with you today. It would have been with His own Son. But He never backed out on His promise. He let Him go to the cross for you to take your sins. He took my sins, and He never has forgotten you. He never will forget His children. He promises. He has inscribed you in the palms of His hands. I hope you know the Lord Jesus this morning. Do you know Him? This altar is going to be open in just a minute. Musicians, if you come, number 453, leaning on the everlasting arms. This altar is open. Joseph had a rough time with it. But he's a great example. I hope we're learning something. I am. That's for sure. You come. I'm here to pray with you. If you don't know the Lord Jesus and you'd like to pray with me, I'd be glad to spend some time with you this morning. Right here, this altar.
Isaiah, thank you also for me for this. This is great. Please stand with us at our invitation. We're going to sing all three verses.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace of mind, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leading, leading, safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning, leading, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leading on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path glows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarm. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms, singing out, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
That song says, "What have I to fear? What have I to dread?" If you're connected, you know, These lights are connected to the power, or we wouldn't have them. If you're not connected to the power, you're in trouble. But if you're connected to the power, the Lord Jesus, there is no fear. There is no dread. He's going to make all things new. In the book of Revelation, he says, I'm going to make all things new. I don't care how bad things you had in the past. You can forget them because God can take care of them. Lord, go with us now this week. Help us, Lord, to be a witness like Joseph was. When things get bad, that we just don't throw the towel in and quit. But we know, Lord, you will not forget us. You'll remember us as you do every day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.